It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A little preemptive and a little obnoxious, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, we started the morning out that way. I might as well just continue onto the air.
Lonzo's real mad about Justin Fields today. Real mad about Justin Fields. The audacity of a beat writer to say that he's taken a little longer than Steeler fans would like to figure it out.
Yeah, it's not me. It's other people laughing at that guy. But you're agreeing with that guy.
No, I don't
know why you like that.
I don't think anybody's laughing.
Do you even remember that guy's name?
No, I don't. Talking about the beat writer? I know Justin Fields' name.
Yeah.
Because I know Paul. No, I don't remember his name. It was like 23 hours ago. How in the world would you expect me to remember that guy's name? It was yesterday. Might as well have been a millennium ago.
I'm going to go with James Johnson.
No, it wasn't. It was a unique name. I can go back and find it. I got it somewhere.
It's not that important. That guy's going to be left to obscurity after Justin Fields becomes the starter for the Chicago Bears.
You know what? If Justin Fields becomes the starter for the Chicago Bears, the Bears are going to have some real explaining to do, like why they took him back from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, well, I guess it's 6 a.m. and I'm saying things wrong.
There it is. I mean, me too.
Well, that means I'm done for the day.
At 6:01 and 51, man, at a minute and 51 seconds.
I'm going to emphasize, I'm turning my mic off now. I'm done for the day until about 9:20 when I'm required to speak.
The world wants more Lonzo. The world's a better place for having more Lonzo.
All right, the Bears screwed up. Everyone knows. Well, all right. Some of us know it. Some of us with GEDs in knowing ball know it.
We're going to talk some quarterbacks today on the Rob Brown Radio Show. Good morning, everyone. Welcome in. Happy Thursday, my dudes and my dudettes. It is wonderful to have you here as we are set for the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment.
Am I really being chastised and corrected by you?
That was harsh.
Let's keep a tally today. Let's keep a tally today.
That was
all right,
harsh.
Now I'm turning my mic off.
In fairness, you did say he was going to start for the Bears.
I did.
Okay.
I did, and I help you all the time.
I was helping you too.
I know. You could have did it a little nicer.
Sorry. Lonzo, you meant the Steelers.
Well, I mean, when you do it, I just matter-of-factly go, Stewart.
Yeah, that's true, you do.
Yeah, I do. I try to help you instead. I mean, you know, you made a full-blown segment out of it.
Absolutely not. I was just pointing out that there's a video going around on social media that Lonzo sent me this morning of Justin Fields dropping some dimes, all right? Putting the ball on the target, putting the ball on the money, leading some guys to the sideline. Putting the ball right where only they can get him. But as you have heard me say, this is not a take down Justin Fields thing. Number one, you got to hit a guy out of the break, right? I can't have a wide receiver turn out of the break and then have to wait half a second. That's how you get wide receivers murdered. And number two, they're in shorts and no helmets and no shoulder pads. Like, how many times have we heard even the great Rashawn Beard, who, by the way, unfortunately, not able to make it today. He will return to the show tomorrow.
Rashad.
What did I say?
You said Rashawn.
No, I did not.
You did.
No, I did not. Rashad Beard will join us on tomorrow's show. Had to, unfortunately, pull the plug on today's episode's appearance because he's got a real job. Aside from just coming in here and talking ball with us. So Rashad will be here tomorrow, but we'll still talk some Carolina Panthers later on in the show anyway. And not just Carolina Panthers. We'll talk a lot of NFL ball as we are inching ever closer and closer and closer to the beginning of the football season. But as it is not yet football season, confirmed by looking at the calendar, as it is not yet football season, we still have Moy Moss to talk about away from football. We got some hockey.
Olympic trials, by the way.
Like, how much have you watched?
A little bit.
I watched a lot of swimming the last 2 days.
A little bit of swimming, yeah. And we'll get more into it. Michael Phelps just kind of throws you a little bit.
Yeah, true, but you got Katie Ledecky.
I know, and she's...
dominant? Dominant than Michael Phelps?
Her body shape is disturbing.
I mean, she's a swimmer. Can we pretend?
No, I know.
We're not for a
mean.
Second not pretending like Michael Phelps didn't look like an X-Man,
no,
right?
No, I agree. That's what's disturbing. It's like if she was wearing some sort of superhero costume, I would not be shocked.
Neither would I. Katie Ledecky. Remember the other day when we had the discussion about the athletes that are the most dominant in their sport today? Katie Ledecky should have been on that list. There is something wild about watching Katie Ledecky swim the 1500 meter free, and she's like swimming the opposite way of every other person in the pool because she's a full freaking lap ahead.
Yeah, but she really makes you feel old.
She does.
Because you've been watching her since she was, what, like 15?
Yup. Katie Ledecky is, however, 27 years old. She ain't young in the pool.
How many Olympics is this? Like three?
This will be her third. Because she was at she was in 2012 in London. She was at 2012 in London. She was obviously at 26. No, so this will be her fourth. This will be her fourth Olympics. She debuted at the 2012 Olympic Games. So she was at 2012, 2016, 2020, and now 2024. And has dominated at all of them.
See, you watch someone like Simone Biles, who's been in a couple Olympics. She don't make you feel old because she still kind of looks the same. But Katie, you can see her aging, and that means you look in the mirror and find out that you've also been aging.
I don't need anybody else's help for that. All right. When the body woke me up at like 2:15 this morning and went, "Hey, dude, you have to pee right now." I was like, all right, this is just where I am in my life. And it's happened enough, I'm not even mad at it anymore. Now I'm just like, oh, this is just part of my life.
I was on P number three by two.
Katie Ledecky is, when we did our poll of dominant athletes the other day, and we did the dominant athletes of today, right? Not like all time, just dominant athletes of today. Katie Ledecky should be at the top of the list, I think. Because I'm the same way. Like, I'm not going out of my way to watch the U.S. Olympic trials. I don't schedule them the way that I did yesterday, like Braves-Tigers at 2 o'clock or whatever. Last night, Orioles-Yankees, Gerrit Cole getting back onto the bump for the pinstripes. Have to be in a seat for that moment. By the way, four innings pitched out of Gerrit Cole. Looked pretty good. 62 pinches. I think he gave up, what, four hits, if I recall? Pretty good look. Pretty good look for them to get him back. Anyway, not like I schedule other sports, but if I'm sitting in the Casa de Love and I'm flipping channels on the old Televisión and that's on and there's nothing else that I want to watch more, I've been checking in on the U.S. Olympic trials, and they're dope, dude. And I'll tell you why I love them so much. It's because for the majority of the cats that are in these events, this is it, right? This is it. This is their crack at it. We are sending three, maybe four in any given event to go to Paris and compete. And for a majority, not everybody, but for a majority of the cats in the pool or on the track field or whatever the case is, They might get one shot at this thing, man. They might have one shot at this thing. They might have one crack at ever getting the opportunity to get those Olympic rings tattooed on the body. They may get one shot at it. And if they don't get it done here, they don't ever get a chance to go. You know, if you are one of the people that has said in years gone by, you know, I miss old college football because it's not about the passion and the love anymore. Dude, there's nothing more that than the U.S. Olympic trials. Speaking of the U.S. Olympic trials, not that it is a trial, by any stretch of the imagination, but Copa America gets its start this week, and the U.S. national team just a couple of days away from getting started. And it's been wild because on one hand, we had a 5-1 loss at the feet of Colombia. That was embarrassing, to say the least. And then we turned around and played excellent football in a 1-1 draw against Brasilia, one of the best teams in the Americas. Well, we got some thoughts from former U.S. men's national team Hercules Gomez and former U.S. men's national team coach Jurgen Klinsmann about what this tournament means. And I am going to try my darndest to get as many of you tuned into Copa America as I possibly can. Because if you take any level, even if you were only a U.S. men's national team fan that checks in for the World Cup and nothing else, this tournament matters to you. It matters to us. This tournament says a lot about where we will end up and the team that we will take into the world's largest and most popular sporting event. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Remember the conversation we've had ongoing about paying quarterbacks. Because Trevor Lawrence got his deal, a deal that made him one of only a fistful of QBs in the league that are making 50 mil a year. And a lot of folks went, is Trevor Lawrence really worth it? Has Trevor Lawrence earned that paycheck? And I have been saying unto thee, yeah, he has. Not in terms of performance, but the potential for Trevor Lawrence is what got him paid. And it is the one spot on a football field where potential gets you paid over performance. And we're going to prove that today. And we're going to prove that today by taking a look at the highest paid position player at every position across the entire National Football League. Because I think once you hear the names at all the different positions that aren't quarterback, I'll be proven correct. You will see exactly what I've been saying and what I've meant when I've said it. That it is not about what you have done at the quarterback position. It is about what you might do, which is why the Cowboys are, according to reports, the Cowboys are currently looking at handing Dak Prescott a contract that would pay him $60 million annually to continue to work for the Dallas Cowboys, despite the fact that Dak Prescott has accomplished nothing in the postseason so far. A lot of wonderful regular season accomplishments, nada in the postseason. So we will get to that coming up later on in the radio broadcast. Speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of getting paid, we have got a lot of other stuff from the National Football League position by position that we've got to get to and run through. We're going to talk a little more Bryce Young today on the broadcast because I did get the opportunity to get my eyes on a little OTA footage. So I'd like to get into that later in the show. We will talk some College World Series because no loser v. winners bracket game number two this year. The University of Tennessee and Texas A&M Colt, University, eliminated the entire Sunshine State yesterday as both Florida and Florida State got bounced out of the tournament. Of course, you will go back to game number three of this College World Series when Florida State had Tennessee down four runs and a missed check swing, which would have resulted in a strikeout and a third out and the end of the game. And Florida State going into the winner's bracket was blown. It comes all the way around to haunt FSU as FSU ends up getting bounced by that same Tennessee Volunteers program just a handful of days later in the elimination game. FSU sent home. On the flip side, Texas A&M performed, I assume, enough ritualistic human sacrifices in order to appease the gods of their cult to earn themselves a trip by knocking off the Gators. They took a mighty Florida Gator offense, a Florida Gator offense that came to Clemson, South Carolina, and bounced Los Tigres out of their own hosted Super Regional. They were white hot heading into Omaha, and then yesterday, the bats died off. Yesterday, the Florida bats went away, and A&M played good ball. All right, they played good ball. I'm not taking anything away from them. They played good ball, but it was by no means some outlandish and outrageous performance by the Colts. It was a good performance. It was fine. They played fine baseball. Florida just absolutely crapped the bed when it mattered the most offensively. They had their big guy, Jacques, who went out and did some work, but outside of him, it was pretty bad for the Gators. So our College World Series finals is set. Game number one between the Volunteers and the Colt, Aggies, is set for Saturday. Game two on Sunday, and our championship game, if necessary, if a trophy is not handed out Sunday afternoon, will be handed out on Monday morning in a game three again, if necessary. So, there you have it. That's all. No, that's most. That's some of the things that we will be talking about today on the radio program. If you would like to be a part of said radio program, you are not just welcomed to do so. You are encouraged to do so, maybe even demanded to do so. You can get on the Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone at 844-326-3663. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can X me, post me, tweet, you send me a message on X at the Rob Brown Show, Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, all of us at the Fan Upstate. Those are all the different ways for you to get in touch with the program today. Let's run a break. Number one, when we come back, let's talk some football. Because while football season does remain a distant milestone, a milestone we all strive to reach, it's also like gonna start tomorrow effectively. So let's keep talking football when we come back. I am Rob. He's the great one, Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm not going to lie. We may end up dedicating a segment to that later in the show.
Okay, why not?
You know, it's just the... Ladies and gentlemen, there's injustice in the world, and it is up to Lonzo and I to save us. And we will. One radio segment at a time. Welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Wonderful to have you here on the show. A lot of stuff we need to get to. A lot of stuff we need to talk about. We will do some college football later in the show. But for now, I'd like to get to some NFL Yahoo Sports. That's pretty good, right? Like, that's almost radio jingle quality right there.
I think you're missing being on stage because you've been singing a lot lately. And you know, I'm just seeing some signs that maybe you're missing being on stage.
Next weekend. You know, I'm going to be back on stage next weekend.
I do know that.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure out, okay, why is he singing so much lately?
So next weekend, we won't hang on this, but I'll tell you exactly why. Because late last week, I got a notation. We are playing Rob Brown's taken next week. I will be leaving on Thursday. I will be with you guys next Friday, but I will be broadcasting from Florida Friday morning. And then Friday night, the band is playing a music fest. Well, a music and whiskey fest. I'll be playing a music and whiskey fest. And at said event, my band will be opening for Jefferson Starship for no reason. I mean, for a reason. They're there, and they needed an opener, and we're awesome. So, opening for Jefferson Starship. And then on Sunday, we are one of the three highlight bands at a music festival on the beach in Navarre that has been running for like 35 years. And so we get to play a couple of times at some pretty big festivals. So I got a note the other day that was like, hey, can you send us a little 30-second video to utilize as kind of part of the advertisement hype for the Friday Night Festival about you guys opening for Jefferson Starship. So me and my drummer made it, you know, fun, light, goofy, whatever. And then the organizer of the festival emailed me, and he's like, this is great. They're excited. They loved your video because I guess they sent it to Jefferson Starship to get approval on whatever. And they were like, they love it. They think you're great. We can't wait. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, good vibes only. Pretty pumped about it.
So you impressed Jefferson Starship?
I mean, they impressed me when they provided the majority of the music for the Star Wars Holiday Special, a show which has a higher approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes than The Acolyte does. And remember at the beginning of the segment where I said we're probably going to talk about that for a segment later in the show? That's it. That's what we're going to get to. Because Star Wars is it's a cultural phenomenon. And it's, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of taking it on the jaw right now. It's kind of taking one right to the dome right now. All right. Yahoo Sports put out there.
Hey, quick shout out to engineering. You guys are awesome.
Did they get you straightened out?
Yeah. Didn't even have to come in a room.
Do you think that like so much tech is now remote so that IT guys don't have to interact with us anymore?
If anything good came out of the pandemic, it's more abilities for people to do things remotely.
That might be one of the truest statements ever truthed on this or any other radio program. The fact that, despite the fact the unwillingness to accept it from so many people, when we went through the COVID quarantine of 2020, a lot of people figured out that a lot of things can be done without having to go places and see people.
Well, I was essential, so, you know, but still, There were times where I could not be here, and they had to find ways for me to get my work done.
Yep.
And so they did. And I don't know that it was all invented here, but I would like to think maybe it was. And then the rest of the country, as far as Odyssey is concerned, benefited from their need to have me do my work.
Yeah, for sure. And like one of the things that popped up was our stream, right? We stream the show every day. Look at that. Good segue. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate, The Rob Brown Show or The Fan Upstate on YouTube and The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. When we went to the stream, we started with our Comrex. Basically, I was on remote from my house every day, from the old apartment, right?
I miss those pictures.
When we started, it was just the audio. Lonzo and I couldn't see each other. And as anybody who's anybody in this business will tell you, it's 90% of the communication and I that Lonzo do is nonverbal. It's looking at each other. It's pointing. It's whatever. It's Lonzo directing me around like an air traffic controller with two big orange glowy sticks, you know, flipping me the bird when I screw up, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not true, at least the last part.
I like how you were like, I'm going to let the directing Rob via ATC orange glow sticks of direction going to slide.
I actually use lightsabers, but you know, that's my preference.
I almost bought one the other day, like a real nice expensive one.
I've seen the money that my son has sunk into one, and it's like, yeah, that looks really good. Uh-huh. And then if you start, well, I've spent 20 here, I spent 20 there. If I just put all that together, I could actually buy one of those.
I decided to save it up for the new console,
which is a better move.
It's the call out. I also tried to convince the fiance into, instead of doing a first dance, let's do a lightsaber duel, a duel of the fates, and she said no. Oh, I was a little pumped.
Dude.
I know. I thought I had something real good cooking there. So, said pandemic time. This is not what I intended to talk about. Who cares? Well, here we are. That's how this show works. During pandemic time, we started, it was audio only, and you know, it's just tough to do a show without that nonverbal communication. And then one day, it turned into, well, is there a way we can set it up to where Rob and Lonzo can see each other? And the answer was yes, and we figured it out. And then we said, well, if we're doing this, we might as well stream it to the world, right? Like, if we're already doing this, we might as well just pop it up on the internet and see if we can open ourselves up to a new audience. Here we are 4 years later. The great one and I, once we were cleared to come back into the office, the great one and I were like, we might as well keep streaming, right? We don't have to change anything. Everything is still the same setup. We might as well just keep that going. And here we are now. We pop on the stream every morning and we've got, you know, we bounce between 130 and 200 people watching at any given point in time during the day. And by the way, if you're not one of them, come on board. I just told you all the places to go find the stream.
And that's just watching live. People go back and watch it later.
For
also.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and that is segued into creating and running the Fan Upstate YouTube page and popping content up there. Like it was very interesting. That being said, I'm real glad we have fans in sports again. It's so much better. So the swimming and diving trials. Second time I brought it up. Never thought that was going to play. Look at Monica McNutt, Lonzo, with the only person in media with glasses more bold than mine.
Yeah, I'm not sure it matches the outfit, though. She needs some more. Where's the green in? I mean, there's very little green in her outfit.
Yeah, but those are complementary colors. Like, purple and green still go together.
I don't know.
She's fine.
What he meant to say is she's fine.
She's fine. I mean, she's not that, so we're clear. I
think she's just trying to see if Zubin can keep a straight face.
They are pretty bold, dude. They are pretty bold. The swimming and diving trials.
You are
trials,
so jealous right now. Look at you.
Because that's my gimmick, man.
I know, but hers are bigger.
My shtick.
They're almost like 60s Catwoman kind of.
That's feel like when to it. That's like when Kane came out as fake Diesel. We know that's not your thing, man. Swimming and diving trials are taking place in an NFL stadium, which is wild. Because you can tell on TV, it's wild. It's in Lucas Oil. Lucas Oil? I mean, if his name was Lucas and he was swimming, he probably did. Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. 727 athletes competing at that event. No, stop it. All right, we're good. I got it. I'm watching highlights of this event. Predominantly, Katie Ledecky finishing 1,500 meter. She finished 20 seconds ahead of her next closest competitor.
Which has me worried because we need some people competing. I mean, being able to be a little bit close with her because of the next Olympics. Or so maybe we want to sweep. You can't sweep maybe you can. I don't know.
I will go ahead and say, everybody else that was in the pool was still pretty close to the world record time not held by Katie Ledecky, who owns, of the top 20 all-time women's 1,500-meter freestyle, which is like the big one. Do you know how many of the top 20 times Katie Ledecky holds? All of them. She holds all of them. And it's not like it's close. It's not like it's competitive. Can you imagine if, like, in basketball, the top 20 single-season points records were all held by the same dude?
I think maybe early on they probably were.
But, I mean, they may have been in, like, in the 50s, 60s,
70s. Didn't Will Chamberlain hold some things for a while?
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think he held the top 20 single season scoring titles.
This is what you get. You need to fix it, but this is what you get.
It's pretty ridiculous. Pretty ridiculous. So, anyway, I just thought it's all interesting. Let's run to our break. Semi on time. When we come back, we'll do the thing I was going to do there. But, we get sidetracked. What do you want? It's the show. When we come back, Yahoo Sports has put out their NFL power ranking for 2024. And this may shock you. So if you're not seated right now, I would like you to take a seat, take a deep breath and relax. The Panthers checked in at number 32 out of 32. Let's take a look at why and what fixes they may have made to try to grow that number a little bit. Not the lowest win-loss total by Vegas, by the way. So should they be here? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo. Yahoo Sports has the Carolina Panthers ranked number 32 out of 32 in their post-offseason, but not off-season, but like the first half of the off-season power rankings. Call it what you want.
The OTA power rankings.
That's good.
I mean, because that's where we are.
We are. That's fair. I think that's a way to do it. Let me read you the little blurb that opens this. Quote, over the next few months, the Panthers won just two games by a combined 4 points. Reich was fired 11 games into his first Carolina season, and Tepper ruined whatever was left of his reputation by throwing a drink on a heckling fan. On top of that, Bryce Young rarely showed any glimpses of future stardom. And C.J. Stroud selected right after Young in the draft, had one of the greatest rookie seasons ever. Then, after the season, the Panthers traded defensive end Brian Burns, their best player. In 2022, the Panthers turned down a trade offer from the L.A. Rams of 2 first-round draft picks for Burns. When the Panthers did trade an unhappy Burns, they got just a second-rounder back from the Giants. The Panthers were the worst team in the NFL and didn't even own the first overall pick they'd earned for a horrendous season. They had traded it to the Bears in an expensive trade for Young that looked worse and worse with every game. That had to be a reason general manager Scott Fitterer was fired, replaced by Dan Morgan. By the time this season was mercifully over, the Panthers not only were the NFL's worst team, their owner had been completely exposed, and it looked like they drafted the wrong quarterback, too. All of that optimism leading up to Young's first season was gone, replaced by the depressing state of a horrible franchise whose infrastructure was broken, End quote.
Well written and very accurate. I mean, but it was, it's very accurate. Well, I mean,
it's what, not wrong.
To say what else is he could have said it nicer, but it still would have been the same thing. Well, true, probably. Or he might, I mean, you'd have to read what he says about all the other teams, but I think that was pretty accurate.
I do, too, just so we're very clear. Of course, the Panthers go get Dave Canales. Fitterer is gone, as is Reich, obviously. And what I would say, you know, is that the biggest issues that I have seen so far, the biggest issues that have been a problem so far, I think have been addressed. Successfully? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. It's hard to know. We can't know until we play football. But at the end of the day, if there is a problem, if there is an issue, if there is something that needs to be done, step one is to address the thing and try to make a change. Step one is to try to get something done. And I can say, regardless of your feelings about David Tepper, regardless of your feelings about Dan Morgan, Dave Canales, Bryce Young, whoever else you want to talk about, regardless of your feelings about those cats, if we just look at what this team has done this offseason, it does appear at a surface level as if the primary issues have been addressed. Again, don't know if they're successful or not. I cannot tell you, and I've made this point about a couple of teams over the years. I cannot tell you how much I believe, and maybe this is just me, though I doubt it. I cannot tell you how much I believe that a bad head coach, and when I say bad, I mean bad, that a bad head coach can set you back as a franchise. Mike Ditka did it for the New Orleans Saints back in the day. That's obviously the biggest one for me, but there were other guys. Jim Haslett did the same thing. Once we got rid of Ditka and we moved on from Haslett, it wasn't until we threw a dart and gave a young upstart cat known for his offensive prowess over the years in Sean Payton a chance before the Saints finally climbed up out of the cellar and weren't everything we're saying about the Carolina Panthers for freaking years, right? It took a very long time and to recover from the string of bad coaching hires we had. This is part of the reason. I have been asked a number of times, Rob Brown, why is it that with all of the big name coaches or most sought after coaches over the past couple of years, why is it that it never seems like the Carolina Panthers are in the mix for this? And the answer is, why would you be, right? You have a franchise that's the definition of unstable. You had a GM for years that was known around the league as a yes man butt kisser to his owner, which means he's never going to do the things that need to be done to push to the next level. You've got an owner that means surrounds himself by yes men, who does not know football, who does not make good decisions, who reportedly, and I think this is a situation where there's enough smoke to call fire, has a wife that believes that she knows as much about football as anybody in the building, as lifelong football dudes. Why would you be interested in going there? Why would you be interested in going to the place where the story floats around that during practice, the owner's wife was rolling down to the pitch with a post-it note with a play on it that she wanted the coach to run? And you know, life's not a movie, dude. Like, isn't that a great movie scene, right? Isn't that a great movie? Remember the Titans? And how Coach Yost's daughter was coming to all the games? And she would sit up there and scream at the team and be like, ah, no, 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 no. It's a great movie thought that a non-football person who's like an outsider would come to the coach and go, Coach, they're blitzing off the right side. Any time that they scream left lizard, that means but. And the coach goes, oh, you're genius. That does not happen in real life, right?
This has nothing to do with her being with it being a female, by the way.
No, not at all.
Because it's kind of
the fact that she was a 7-year-old like girl.
I know, but you went from
that's good. That's a good safe.
There's two examples, and they were both female.
That's a good safe. No, it has to do with people who don't know ball. And for the record, I'd say the same thing about Tep. You know, like there's a.
At least she's putting effort. Is he giving plays? No. I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah, but in that case, he's right, right? Stay the hell out of the way. You're not a coach. If you want to start installing plays, just name yourself offensive coordinator, Tep, right? You got the power. You're the owner. You can do it. I think that for me.
I think his wife probably could do that, too. She could probably name herself offensive coordinator.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Let's not put that out there just in case, though, right? Why? I don't want to give any more ideas.
It can't get any worse. I want to see what would happen. She might be pretty good. How bad was the one play? I mean, do you know what the one play was?
I don't know what
the play was. We don't know. That might have been the only successful play of the entire season.
I'm going to press X to doubt on that one. But we'll see. We'll see. So the issues to me got addressed. It starts with Tep. Our issue with Tepper was what? Get the hell out of the way, dude. Right? That's why Rashad's got that dope step back shirt that he wore on the interview every day for like 3 weeks in a row. And then I mentioned Tep hires Kanellis. He hires Dan Morgan. Do you get the impression that there's any bit of yes man in Dan Morgan?
No, I think if Tepper says something he doesn't like, Dan Morgan just stares at him until he relents.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what, Dan? I was just throwing stuff out there. Obviously, that's that. We'll come up with something else.
That's not even that much of a joke. Dan Morgan scares me as a person.
If he was sitting right there in that chair, I would do better.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not that I'm doing horrible right now, but I would step it up.
I think we might have to get like if we get a Dan Morgan fathead, but not of him as a player, him in a suit, and just put it in the corner, we'll never lose another Star Award, right? So
we have to take it out of the room. We don't want to motivate, you know, other people, though, you know.
It's our Star Award. I mean, pulling for you guys.
It's our Dan Morgan. Yeah,
I hope you win second place every year. And by the way, they feel the same way about us. That's how families work.
Well, no competition this year, but next year, hopefully. That show hasn't been on long enough.
Oh, yeah,
yet,
that's right.
So I am looking forward to that. Because it is really nice to have the two live shows on the station in the upstate of South Carolina.
We did it last year.
Yeah.
Did it last year. Swept the category. My dudes.
And the person who lost felt so bad about it that he moved up north.
I know. He's like, watch this, punk ass.
I can't win. I'm going to Detroit.
Show you. The Tepper thing was step back. I have pointed out a number of times. Tepper introduced Morgan and Kanellis. He went to the back of the room. He told Shayna Quick, I'm out. I'm stepping back. I won't be here as much. Right? We had the incident at the bar, and after the incident at the bar, we haven't heard from the guy. You brought in a head coach last year who was, I'm sorry to say, a dinosaur. I think there was reason to be optimistic. My reason was I was kind of blaming it on Jim Irsay losing his bleeping mind. Was the reason he let Frank Wright go, right? I was blaming it on Irsay going out of his skull, maybe or maybe not with some chemical assistance and just firing Frank Reich out of, I don't know, spite, anger, whatever. Turns out, now Jim Irsay was probably right. Frank Reich didn't have it anymore. You had a yes man butt kisser of a GM. They let him go. Now all of a sudden your offense, from what I'm reading about OTAs and the limited bit of OTA tape I have seen so far, it does appear that your offense is starting to come together. It's exactly what Dave Canales said it was going to be. We are going to start by making sure that the offense is dialed in on the things that Bryce Young does best. We are going to make sure that we are working on but not installing the things he's not ready for and allowing him to build and develop confidence to be a better quarterback. And from what I have been reading, that's happening. That's happening. You can't be upset when you see these preseason power ratings come out that consistently have Carolina at number 32. Don't worry about them. As a media guy, that's the easy thing to do, all right? They were trash last year. A lot of folks that don't cover this team on the day-by-day are obviously going to look and go, oh, how could they possibly be better? Don't worry about it right now. What I am worried about is what the Vegas numbers say. What I am looking at is what the Vegas numbers say. And Vegas opens you up at an over-under of 5.5. And by the way, the favorite was to the under, okay? Now you have moved it up to 6.5. You now do not have the lowest win-loss total. That is the New England Patriots. And the number, as far as the line on it, has shifted a little bit more towards a even split between the over and the under. You know what that means? That means the people that know, that make their living off of this by correctly and accurately predicting these things, they think you're going to be better. And I will tell you right now, I would take the Sharks think you are better faster than I would take random dude who generates a bunch of articles for a conglomerate says you're bad. But that's just me. Speaking of guys who make a lot of money by knowing the game, Lonzo.
Rolling in it, yo. 2023 AL Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole made his debut for the New York Yankees last night after three rehab starts off an elbow injury. Cole threw just over four innings in a 7-6 loss to Baltimore that included 62 pitches with a number of 97-mile-per-hour fastballs. Included, Cole surrendered three hits and two earned runs with while striking out five. The Atlanta Braves finished a three-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers with a 7-0 shutout win yesterday. Atlanta's offense recorded seven hits against Cy Young candidate Tarik Skubal, including a Sean Murphy home run, one of four hits he recorded on the day. And make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun, Wire to Wire.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rod Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo. Yahoo Sports has the Carolina Panthers ranked number 32 out of 32 in their post-offseason, but not off-season, but like the first half of the offseason power rankings. Call it what you want.
The OTA power rankings.
That's good.
I mean, because that's where we are.
We are. That's fair. I think that's the way to do it. Let me read you the little blurb that opens this. Quote, over the next few months, the Panthers won just two games by a combined 4 points. Reich was fired 11 games into his first Carolina season, and Tepper ruined whatever was left of his reputation by throwing a drink on a heckling fan. On top of that, Bryce Young rarely showed any glimpses of future stardom. And C.J. Stroud selected right after Young in the draft, had one of the greatest rookie seasons ever. Then, after the season, the Panthers traded defensive end Brian Burns, their best player. In 2022, the Panthers turned down a trade offer from the L.A. Rams of 2 first-round draft picks for Burns. When the Panthers did trade an unhappy Burns, they got just a second-rounder back from the Giants. The Panthers were the worst team in the NFL and didn't even own the first overall pick they'd earned for a horrendous season. They had traded it to the Bears in an expensive trade for Young that looked worse and worse with every game. That had to be a reason general manager Scott Fitterer was fired, replaced by Dan Morgan. By the time this season was mercifully over, the Panthers not only were the NFL's worst team, their owner had been completely exposed, and it looked like they drafted the wrong quarterback too. All of that optimism leading up to Young's first season was gone, replaced by the depressing state of a horrible franchise whose infrastructure was broken, end quote.
Well written and very accurate. I mean, but it's very accurate. Well, I mean,
it's not wrong.
To see what else is he could have said it nicer, but it still would have been the same thing. Well, true, probably. Or he might. I mean, you'd have to read what he says about all the other teams, but I think that was pretty accurate.
I do too. Just so we're very clear. Of course, the Panthers go get Dave Canales. Fitterer is gone, as is Reich, obviously. And what I would say, is that the biggest issues that I have seen so far, the biggest issues that have been a problem so far, I think have been addressed. Successfully? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. It's hard to know. We can't know until we play football. But at the end of the day, if there is a problem, if there is an issue, if there is something that needs to be done, step one is to address the thing and try to make a change. Step one is to try to get something done. And I can say, regardless of your feelings about David Tepper, regardless of your feelings about Dan Morgan, Dave Canales, Bryce Young, whoever else you want to talk about, regardless of your feelings about those cats, if we just look at what this team has done this offseason, it does appear at a surface level as if the primary issues have been addressed. Again, don't know if they're successful or not. I cannot tell you, and I've made this point about a couple of teams over the years. I cannot tell you how much I believe, and maybe this is just me, though I doubt it. I cannot tell you how much I believe that a bad head coach, and when I say bad, I mean bad, that a bad head coach can set you back as a franchise. Mike Ditka did it for the New Orleans Saints back in the day. That's obviously the biggest one for me, but there were other guys. Jim Haslett did the same thing. Once we got rid of Ditka and we moved on from Haslett, it wasn't until we threw a dart and gave a young upstart cat known for his offensive prowess over the years in Sean Payton a chance before the Saints finally climbed up out of the cellar and weren't everything we're saying about the Carolina Panthers for freaking years, right? It took a very long time and to recover from the string of bad coaching hires we had. This is part of the reason. I have been asked a number of times, Rob Brown, why is it that with all of the big name coaches or most sought after coaches over the past couple of years, why is it that it never seems like the Carolina Panthers are in the mix for this? And the answer is, why would you be, right? You have a franchise that's the definition of unstable. You had a GM for years that was known around the league as a yes man butt kisser to his owner, which means he's never going to do the things that need to be done to push to the next level. You've got an owner that means surrounds himself by yes men, who does not know football, who does not make good decisions, who reportedly, and I think this is a situation where there's enough smoke to call fire, has a wife that believes that she knows as much about football as anybody in the building, as lifelong football dudes. Why would you be interested in going there? Why would you be interested in going to the place where the story floats around that during practice, the owner's wife was rolling down to the pitch with a post-it note with a play on it that she wanted the coach to run? And you know, life's not a movie, dude. Like, isn't that a great movie scene, right? Isn't that a great Remember the Titans? And how Coach Yost's daughter was coming to all the games. And she would sit up there and scream at the team and be like, no. It's a great movie thought that a non-football person who's like an outsider would come to the coach and go, Coach, they're blitzing off the right side. Any time that they scream left lizard, that means. But and the coach goes, oh, you're genius. That does not happen in real life.
This,
right?
This has nothing to do with her being with it being a female, by the way.
No, not at all.
Because it's kind of
the fact that she was a 7-year-old like girl.
I know, but you went from
that's good. That's a good safe.
There's two examples, and they were both female.
That's a good safe. No, it has to do with people who don't know ball. And for the record, I'd say the same thing about Tep. You know, like there's a.
At least she's putting effort. Is he giving plays? No. I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah, but in that case, he's right, right? Stay the hell out of the way. You're not a coach. If you want to start installing plays, just name yourself offensive coordinator, Tep, right? You got the power. You're the owner. You can do it. I think that for me.
I think his wife probably could do that, too. She could probably name herself offensive coordinator.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Let's not put that out there just in case, though, right?
Why?
I don't want to give any more ideas.
It can't get any worse. I want to see what would happen. She might be pretty good. How bad was the one play? I mean, do you know what the one play was?
I don't know
what the play was. We don't know. That might have been the only successful play of the entire season.
I'm going to press X to doubt on that one. But we'll see. We'll see. So the issues to me got addressed. It starts with Tep. Our issue with Tepper was what? Get the hell out of the way, dude, right? That's why Rashad's got that dope step back shirt that he wore on the interview every day for like 3 weeks in a row. And then I mentioned, Tep hires Kanellis. He hires Dan Morgan. Do you get the impression that there's any bit of yes man in Dan Morgan?
No, I think if Tepper says something he doesn't like, Dan Morgan just stares at him until he relents.
Yeah.
He goes, you know what, Dan? I was just throwing stuff out there. Obviously, we'll come up with something else.
That's not even that much of a joke. Dan Morgan scares me as a person.
If he was sitting right there in that chair, I would do better.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not that I'm doing horrible right now, but I would step it up.
I think we might have to get like if we get a Dan Morgan fathead, but not of him as a player, him in a suit, and just put it in the corner, we'll never lose another Star Award, right? So
we have to take it out of the room. We don't want to motivate, you know, other people, though. You know,
it's our Star Award. I mean, pulling for you guys.
It's our Dan Morgan. Yeah,
I hope you win second place every year. And by the way, they feel the same way about us. That's how families work.
Well, no competition this year, but next year, hopefully. That show hasn't been on long enough.
Oh, yeah,
yet,
that's right.
So I am looking forward to that because it is really nice to have the two live shows on the station in upstate of South Carolina.
We did it last year.
Yeah.
Did it last year. Swept the category, my dudes.
And the person who lost felt so bad about it that they moved up north.
I know. He's like, watch this, punk ass.
I can't win. I'm going to Detroit.
Show you. The Tepper thing was step back. I have pointed out a number of times. Tepper introduced Morgan and Canales. He went to the back of the room. He told Shayna Quick, I'm out. I'm stepping back. I won't be here as much, right? We had the incident at the bar. And after the incident at the bar, we haven't heard from the guy. You brought in a head coach last year who was, I'm sorry to say, a dinosaur. I think there was reason to be optimistic. My reason was I was kind of blaming it on Jim Irsay losing his bleeping mind was the reason he let Frank Wright go, right? I was blaming it on Irsay going out of his skull, maybe or maybe not with some chemical assistance, and just firing Frank Reich out of, I don't know, spite, anger, whatever. Turns out, Jim Irsay was probably right. Frank Reich didn't have it anymore. You had a yes man butt kisser of a GM. They let him go. Now all of a sudden your offense, from what I'm reading about OTAs and the limited bit of OTA tape I have seen so far, it does appear that your offense is starting to come together. It's exactly what Dave Canales said it was going to be. We are going to start by making sure that the offense is dialed in on the things that Bryce Young does best. We are going to make sure that we are working on but not installing the things he's not ready for and allowing him to build and develop confidence to be a better quarterback. And from what I have been reading, that's happening. That's happening. You can't be upset when you see these preseason power ratings come out that consistently have Carolina at number 32. Don't worry about them. As a media guy, that's the easy thing to do, all right? They were trash last year. A lot of folks that don't cover this team on the day-by-day are obviously going to look and go, oh, how could they possibly be better? Don't worry about it right now. What I am worried about is what the Vegas numbers say. What I am looking at is what the Vegas numbers say. And Vegas opens you up at an over-under of 5.5. And by the way, the favorite was to the under, okay? Now you have moved it up to 6.5. You now do not have the lowest win-loss total. That is the New England Patriots. And the number, as far as the line on it, has shifted a little bit more towards an even split between the over and the under. You know what that means? That means the people that know, that make their living off of this by correctly and accurately predicting these things, they think you're going to be better. And I will tell you right now, I would take the Sharks think you are better faster than I would take random dude who generates a bunch of articles for a conglomerate says you're bad. But that's just me. Speaking of guys who make a lot of money by knowing the game, Lonzo.
Rolling in it, yo. 2023 AL Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole made his debut for the New York Yankees last night after three rehab starts off an elbow injury. Cole threw just over four innings in a 7-6 loss to Baltimore that included 62 pitches with a number of 97-mile-per-hour fastballs. Included, Cole surrendered three hits and two earned runs with while striking out five. The Atlanta Braves finished a three-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers with a 7-0 shutout win yesterday. Atlanta's offense recorded seven hits against Cy Young candidate Tarik Skubal, including a Sean Murphy home run, one of four hits he recorded on the day. And make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun, Wire to Wire.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them? Yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.